Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone to another edition of Family Answer Man. I'm Jay Fitter. Tonight is Monday evening. Lines are now open at 855-279-3758. Once again, you can call in with any questions at 855, that's a toll-free number, 855-279-3758. This show airs live Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Pacific time, and can be viewed anytime after that on Facebook. Go to Family Answer Man, and you can actually listen to this show as well as all the previous shows. You can also go directly to Blog Talk Radio, all together, no spaces, blogtalkradio.com/Family Answer Man to listen to the shows. Okay, this is an educational show. I need to provide this disclaimer. Educational show to address issues related to parenting, marriage issues, other relationships, children, dating, anything that has to do with family kinds of issues. But it does not take the place of psychotherapy. So if you are in need of psychotherapy, you need to seek that out yourself and pay for it. So this show is not take the place. However, we will address topics that people call on related to anything concerning those kind of issues, relationship type issues and such like that. So once again, phone lines are open at 855-279-3758. A little bit about me. I'm a licensed family therapist. Been in practice for a little over 20 years. Currently in private practice in Southern California. I have done parenting and relationship workshops all over Southern California. Haven't really left the state, but I suppose that is possible at some point in the future. Also work juvenile hall with adolescent offenders. So I see kids in my office who anywhere from minor and somewhat minor behavior type problems all the way to the very serious ones where they're in juvenile hall for a variety of offenses, and they call me in to sort of work with that population. Also, the workshops that I do, especially the parenting workshops, are based on a book that I authored titled Respect Your Children. So it's going to, the book is titled Respect Your Children. You can find it, I think, on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and some of those sites. The book, I often get a lot of comments when people first see the book, you know, Respect Your Children. It's, you know, what do you mean respect my children? They need to respect me. And as people begin to read the book and understand it, they see that we as parents are the role models. And we role model respect. That's the best way to get it back in return, because we can't force our children to respect us. So Respect Your Children is not about giving away authority to your kids and let them do whatever they want. It's more of an attitude of how we interact with our children and not taking them for granted and treating them for who they are as people, and developing a relationship with them, which will then lead to mutual respect. You can call the show at, once again, live at 855-279-3758. You can also post your questions now, or I don't know if I'm going to get to questions that are posted now, but for future shows or at any time at Family Answer Man on Facebook, you can post questions and I will respond to them on the air. I won't mention your name, so if you just want to address any question related to any topics surrounding family, marriage, parenting, dating, those kinds of things, and all the issues that come up with it, whether it be substance abuse or depression or those sorts of things. But just keep in mind This is not designed to take the place of therapy. See if I get all that other stuff out of the way. Once again, yeah, just go to if you go to Family Answer Man on Facebook, click like on that, and then you will be getting updates on future shows and titles and such like that, and you can pass those on. Some of the shows in the past we've done, the last one, which was fairly popular, talked about college, the pros and cons. People always just talk about the pros of college, but there's a lot of cons, too, to it, depending on motivation behind it, the direction kids are taking, a lot of things involved. College is very expensive, and without the right commitment and the right direction, it can be somewhat counterproductive. There's so many people who have degrees out there in fields where there are simply no jobs available. Nobody hires in so many of these areas that they grant degrees in that they end up coming out with $100,000 or more in student loans and working at a shoe store or a restaurant or something like that. So it is important as parents that we get involved in those kind of things. So if you're interested in listening to that episode, go over to Family Answer Man on Facebook, and you can listen to the whole show. Most of them are about 15 minutes long. Also did one on spanking, one on communication, dating, a variety of topics. If anybody has a specific topic they would like me to address, you can also submit that directly on Family Answer Man for my consideration. If it seems like it would show that would benefit the masses and be helpful, I'd be more than happy to speak on that. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about the title of the show, Why Can't I Stay in Love? It's a fact that half the people who get married in this country get divorced. So, you know, that tells us something right there. Why is it that you know, we make this lifetime commitment and half of us at some point along the way say, this is not for me. Now, bear in mind, when I'm talking about this topic tonight of why can't I stay in love and the idea of love and such like that, I want you to know that there are certainly always exceptions. Exceptions like abuse. You have an abusive spouse and such like that. I mean, so there certainly are reasons to end a relationship where it can be where it's detrimental, where somebody's being harmed or something like that. But just considering that in general, half of these marriages get divorced, and the vast majority, it's not because of abuse, okay? It's because things like, well, I fell out of love. I don't feel the same as I did for this person anymore. And, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who felt the same about their spouse 20 years after they married them as they did on their first date, or they did when they got engaged, or on their honeymoon or something like that. But I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a minute. For those who get divorced, the majority of them get married again. And for those who get married again, the divorce rate for those are approximately 70%. So it doesn't get better. Once you've been divorced once, your chance of getting divorced a second time are even higher than they were the first time. Some other interesting things that I find kind of fascinating is the differences of men and women. Is that in general, when a man gets divorced, he remarries, his wife is on average 5 years younger than his previous wife was. So you can take from that what you want, but that's sort of the average. So that he marries someone significantly younger than his previous wife. Often for women, the age range is comparable when they remarry, but there seems to be a lot more issues as far as women, because very often women end up being the one who are the primary caretaker of the children. So it can become a little more challenging when you have 2, 3, 4 kids getting into a new relationship. So that's where very often we have kids growing up in single-parent homes. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, it's tough enough being a parent for those of you who are parents now. You know, getting through the baby age stage when they're up all night and the feeding and the diapers, and all they do is is eat, sleep, and poop, basically. And then you can't wait till they get older. But then by the time they're teenagers, you wish they were little kids again, because a whole new set of problems with sex and drugs and trying to help them focus on education and understand the importance of it and things like that. And so to do that and having two parents is quite challenging. But to do it with one parent can be almost impossible. And, you know, I mentioned earlier I do some work at Juvenile Hall, and I work with kids who are pretty hardcore, who've done some pretty bad things I'm not going to get into here tonight. But in my personal experience, I've been doing this for quite a few years at Juvenile Hall. The kids that I work with, the vast majority come from single-parent homes. Now, is that a coincidence? I don't know. But they come from single-parent homes. And what I most often find is the single parent is the mother. And the mother is either, one, works two jobs or three jobs to try to make ends meet because the you know, all the expense involved and the deadbeat dad not paying the child support or anything like that. Or two, she's a party mom and she's gone sometimes for days at a time. In either case, the child or children are left primarily home alone. Okay? And so when they're alone, children desire family relationship. They desire family interaction. Okay? So if they don't have that sense of family at home with their parents, they will seek it elsewhere. And then where's the most common place that they seek it? Is in gang affiliation. I've worked with a lot of kids who've been in gangs, and that's what they've said. You know what? That's my family. They're my family. So that's where the perspective is, that desire for family, and if we're not meeting it there for our children, they're going to find it elsewhere. So let's talk a little bit about what is love, which brings us to why can't I stay in love? Okay? What is love? Some people ask me, you know, do you believe in love at first sight? Generally speaking, I would say no. I believe in lust at first sight. You see someone and go, wow, you know, that's she's pretty cute. Okay? But I wouldn't see someone and say, gosh, I'm willing to just devote myself to her for life and work and take care of her if she became sick tomorrow for the rest of her life. Even though I just saw her 5 minutes ago, I'm willing to take care of her the rest of her life. Probably not. Doesn't mean that it can't develop into love. But I certainly do believe in lust at first sight. But here's the issue with love. Most of us, and I think most people who end up getting divorced, they equate love with a feeling. It's how I feel. I feel in love. I feel butterflies in my stomach. It's such a warm feeling. I just tingle all over and just being with this person. But then 6 months, a year later, 5 years, whatever, it's like, ugh, same old person. I don't feel anything for them. To me, I equate feelings with, and some of you who might be listening to this show, who I've maybe seen in private practice, maybe heard this analogy before, but a feeling to me is like a sailboat on the water. If you're standing on shore and you look at a sailboat, it's bouncing up and down with the waves. Water goes up, the sailboat goes up. Water goes down, the sailboat goes down. So we have feelings that one day I'm in love with you. Oh, I just feel so great about our relationship. The next day, I can't stand you. You're just so boring. You don't understand anything. You don't get my humor. I'm tired of you. So if we equate love with a feeling, then we are going to end in divorce, most likely. Okay, because that feeling is going to go up and down. You are never going to feel this passion, a feeling of, oh, I can't, you know, like you did when you first got together. But it's okay, because it's a feeling that goes up and down. And what I like to think about as far as love is concerned, and that's where you can see why they end in divorce, if it's just based on a feeling. I mean, it's like you go buy a new shirt, you go buy a new outfit somewhere, a new pair of shoes, You go, oh, these are great. These feel great. This looks so good on me. 6 months later, like, I wouldn't be caught dead in that outfit. Ugh. You know, I'm tired of it. I don't feel the same way about it as I did when I bought it. On the other hand, consider this. Love is a decision. I am choosing to love this person. So, in that case, using the same example of the boat, think of the decision being like a giant ship, big tanker or a cruise ship, and you look out and you see that ship, and the water might be bouncing around it, but the ship almost looks like it's on solid ground because it's not moving. It's firmly in the water. It's not bouncing around. So if love is a decision, then I've made a decision to love this person, and by making that decision, I'm going to do what I can to build up that person, to encourage that person, to strengthen that relationship. Now, just imagine. Now, some people would say, yeah, but it is just all one-sided. That would suck. That's true. But just imagine for a moment if it went both ways. If both parties were saying, what can I do to build up my partner? What can I do to encourage them, to support them, to be there for them in all areas? In listening to them, and caring about them, and being there for them, and into areas of intimacy, letting them know that they are important. If each person's focus is on the other instead of on me, if the focus is, how can I be there for you? How can I encourage you to be there for you? Instead of, what can you do for me? You can see how then the feelings will begin to follow the behavior. So if our belief and our decision is, I'm going to love this person, then I begin to do the very things that they need for them, the very things that they desire, and they do the same to me. As a result, my feelings continue to grow for them. But if, on the other hand, I let my feelings lead my actions, then when I feel bored with you, I'm going to treat you in such a way that I'm bored with you, so as a result, the relationship is just going to deteriorate. But by choosing to love, by love being a decision, then the feelings will begin to follow those decisions, because those choices, that person will see, wow, you know, I really am important to them. They are going out of their way. They're trying to meet my needs. They're trying to be there for me. And I'm doing the same for them too. So don't get down on yourself if there's days when you say, you know what, I don't really like my spouse today. I don't like my wife. I don't like my husband. I just don't. That's fine. That's a feeling. That's that sailboat kind of taking a dip. But that doesn't change the fact that I've made a decision that I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to support you, and we're going to make this a lifetime decision that we agreed upon, the commitment we made. And so I'm going to do all I can regardless of how I feel, because the more I do this, the more my feelings will follow along with us with that. So we need to move away from the perspective of what can you do for me, or I don't feel in love anymore, but consider more letting our actions dictate our feelings instead of our feelings dictating our actions. And that is why so many people say, why can't I stay in love? Because to them, love is only a feeling. The feeling that comes and goes, like a feeling for a nice car you bought that you thought was the greatest thing in the world, and then you have buyer's remorse. The feelings will constantly change. But if it's a decision, then you will use that to build that relationship, and those feelings will continue to grow. That's it for tonight's show. If you have questions, if you have comments, please go to Family Answer Man on Facebook, and you can post your questions or your comments on that show. You can also contact this show live at any time, the office live, at 951-272-8304. That's 951-272-8304. I'm Jay Fitter, and that will do for the show. Good night. Have a good evening.